when we don't give the body that energy, that protein especially, but amino acids, those foods that we're getting in the morning especially, if we don't offer that to the body before coffee, it's kind of like coffee's asking your body to go, go, go. The problem is when the body is forced to do a pick-me-up, when it's forced to go, 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 and it doesn't have the fuel, that's when the adrenals kick in. That's when the cortisol is being pumped out. That's when our stress hormones are really getting going rampant. And it's when we really start to feel kind of awful.
This is the Gutsy Health Podcast, your go-to destination for uncomplicated, practical, and affordable tools for your wellness education with Jeannie Grover. Are you ready to become a self-healing champion? Let's go. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Gutsy Health Podcast. I have my phenomenal health coach, Ashley Church, here and being interviewed today. And Ashley, you've been with me for 3 years now. Isn't that correct? I can't believe
it. Yeah, I can't believe it. It's almost there. Yeah. I can't believe it either.
You started on right after Tristan died. Like, I think you started, like, I took a 3-week leave after he died and you started during that time.
Yeah. I was actually hired right before he passed. And then, you know, I didn't start for a while because of all of that.
It's so crazy. Like, time flies so quickly. And
yes.
It was just the other day I was training you and you were sitting in on all my consults and we were having those long days. And now, like, it's 3 years later and you told me that you've seen over 1,000 clients in 3 years.
Yeah, I can't believe that. I think it's even more. That was like 6 months ago. I haven't even been keeping track, but it's wild.
It's quite incredible. And so you guys, Ashley she has such an amazing story. She is so well-versed in health and wellness. And what's interesting is we did a training with Dr. Wright. We've been doing training all week with the coaches and Dr. Wright this week. But what's really beautiful is when each coach was kind of introducing themselves to him, everyone had a story of health and of like illness and how they overcame that illness and how they found this person or Provo Health that really put them on this trajectory of becoming a self-healing advocate. And that has brought them into this line of work. And so, Ashley, that's your story. Do you want to share with listeners real fast, like, what the specifics of your story are and how we've gotten here today?
Yeah, basically, I was struggling with Lyme disease and mold illness for a long, long time, a lot of years before I even knew what I was dealing with, and then finally getting diagnosed probably almost 10 years in. And that took a lot of work by itself to find the right doctors. A lot of traditional doctors wouldn't really listen to me or wouldn't dig deeper with me. And I had to find some naturopaths who would really dig in and work hard. So I was able to finally get that diagnosis. And that was so helpful to kind of get going. And then kind of still had to bounce around with some different doctors because of various reasons and locations and things like that to find the best specialist for the things I was dealing with. Worked on a lot of different things and was able to finally find healing probably 6 or 7 years after that diagnosis. So it was quite the long journey. But as a part of that, as I was kind of wrapping up, my sister actually told me about Jeannie's podcast and her Instagram page. And I was like, I thought I knew about all the health influencers out there, but I had not ever heard of Jeannie. And so it was so fun to find her. And then, you know, as these things happen, I feel like we get where we're meant to go. And I found a post on her Instagram talking about needing a nutritionist and health coach. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's my dream. I would love to do that because I had been wanting to give back in some way. But I had known with everything I'd been through that maybe the more traditional sense of being a nurse and in that realm isn't exactly where I wanted to be, because that's not really where all the patients that I would want to work with might be, that are kind of dealing with more less mainstream issues, kind of like I did. And so finding her was incredible. And I was able to get in right at the right time. And I was kind of working on my health coaching certification as I was training with her, like she mentioned. And then it's kind of been just the rest is history, as they say. It's just been awesome ever since.
Well, and what I have found in nutritionists and health coaches is they are far more eloquent and knowledgeable in illness and disease when they've experienced it. Because when you are experiencing it, you have to become an expert. Well, you don't have to. You can succumb to your symptoms and feel sick and be stuck on medications and be symptomatic your entire life. But if you want to heal, like, it takes people like you and like the health coaches and people that like join the Gutsy Academy and whatnot. Like, you take charge of your health and you become like this super sleuth, right? And you dive deeper and you ask why is this happening over and over and over until you find the answer. What's really crazy is you worked a lot with Dr. Wright in the past. when he had his private...
Yeah, he was one of my main doctors. Yeah.
Like, you worked with him, and it's been this beautiful like circle, because it's interesting, when I was talking with Dr. Wright about joining Prova Health, he joked with me and he said, you know, if I started my own thing again, I would have wanted to like steal Ashley from you. He's like, but it's nice that I don't have to.
That's hilarious. He's too kind.
He just sings your praises, because even back then you were just so adamant on like finding the root cause and getting to the bottom of your illness. And so it's been so wonderful to watch you be a health coach and to help so many people. And when people often call in, like a lot of people request you, because you've built such a beautiful relationship with people. And I think you're very relatable in the sense of like having Lyme and healing from that and continuing your life and et cetera. So you guys, Ashley came to me about a month ago and she said, hey, I really like to do a podcast on things that I commonly see in consults, right? Whether it's a hair analysis or a blood chem analysis, because it's interesting. And even when I was coaching people, there are patterns that we see over and over and over again that we just wish the general population knew and understood and could start with, right? Like if you are in a bind, if you're in a health bind and you're having issues, let's say you're scheduled with some doctor or some coach in the future and you want to get started, here are some things that you can do to get started. And so Ashley, I kind of want you to take it away with what are some of the most frequent things that you see?
Yeah. So the number one thing that I feel like that came to mind when I was thinking through this was low protein intake. I feel like this is so, so common, especially in women. I think we just, not that we all have eating disorders, I just think we all get busy. And so many of us are multitasking, we're working, we're mothers, whatever that looks like. And we're eating on the go. And when I go through, I always say like, tell me what a day in the life of, you know, you looks like, and tell me about your meals you're eating. And so commonly I hear women tell me, no, I don't really eat breakfast, or for lunch, I'm just eating snacks. And then I have a good meal at dinner, that kind of a pattern. Or even maybe they're having a good lunch and dinner, but their breakfast is low. And that's something we really, really go over a lot. And I try to emphasize with clients. I actually had a client come back recently who said, Ashley, I'm eating more protein and I feel so calm. And I was like, yes, yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Because I feel like that's, you know, and so many of us, when we could use more calm feelings, right? Like, I mean, we're so busy and there's so much going on. And I think it's just something that if we are actually getting optimal protein intake, it can really make a difference. So trying to be really intentional about getting that protein in at every single meal can just be fantastic for not only obviously nutrition and energy, but even feeling calm. I really love that. I think that's probably lending itself to blood sugar management, right? We know that when we get adequate blood sugar or adequate protein intake, we're really helping to stabilize our blood sugar throughout the day. And that really does provide a sense of calm. Like, I do notice that with myself too. Anytime I'm feeling a little bit more like jittery and off or craving carbs at like 4 or 5 in the afternoon, I'm like, oh, my lunch was low in protein. I did this to myself, you know? And that's a pattern that I feel like I talk to so many people about. And just, I try to emphasize too, like, I know it's one more thing to think about, but like your health is worth investing in, and like your energy and your nutrition is worth investing in. And spending a little bit of time, even doing a little bit of food prep, and I know a lot of people are like, I don't have time. And I get that, but we have to like make a little bit of time for the things that matter most. So like prioritizing food, prioritizing finding good protein. And Johnique's also, I feel like, the queen of helping me think through fun, like high protein snacks when I was working with you. I remember that. But even having things around like in your purse, you know, in your car, like things you can just grab that can also help aid to that, to getting your protein in. But that's one of the biggest things that I see across the board.
Well, even like Just Ingredients, she has her whole line of protein powders and vegan and collagen now. And like, it's so easy. Like, it doesn't get easier than what a lot of companies have set up for us. It's as simple as grabbing a scoop of protein powder, adding it to some water or a milk of your choice, and shaking it up and going, right? If you can't even do that, like, and I'll be honest, like I have, like my days are so, so fast right now, just because of baby and children out the door, that I have to get one of those pre-made Orgain shakes. They're already mixed. And so I just open up a cap and I start drinking it first thing in the morning, because I'm starving in the mornings, right? Because I'm breastfeeding all night long and I'm tired. And so I'm like so hungry. And so first thing I do is I wake up, I open up a cap, I start drinking while I'm holding the baby and I'm getting breakfast going for the kids. And so you can do something like that. But what's really, really important is like, people don't realize how much protein. I would really like to have everyone take one day and track your protein intake. Because, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ashley, but the lower level of protein you should be taking is your weight divided by half. So if you are 150 pounds, you need minimum 75 grams of protein, minimum, right?
Yeah, women in their menstruating years, at least 0.8 grams per pound per day is what I typically recommend. So you take your weight times 0.8. So for most women, you're at least at 100, which most women aren't getting 100 unless they're really making an effort to. I've even had personal trainers tell me that if you're trying to put on muscle, you're doing weight training, you should almost be at like a 1-to-1, as in like the same amount of grams of protein that you have in pounds, which is a lot. So I always do tell clients to, one thing to emphasize is if you do, like what Jeanique said, if you look at your protein intake and you find that, yeah, man, I'm just getting like 45 grams a day, don't try to jump up to that, those benchmarks we're talking about overnight. It will make you constipated and it'll probably give you a stomachache and you'll feel terrible. But you kind of gradually, like sometimes I'll talk with clients, they'll say, I have one egg for breakfast in the morning. And I say, great, can you try to do two eggs? See what that feels like. Don't try to just like jump up to increasing your protein so significantly right away. Another thing that kind of correlates with this too is stomach acid, right? If we don't have optimal stomach acid production and we also try to increase our protein intake, that's also going to cause issues. So maybe figuring that out, doing the baking soda test that's on Jeanique's Instagram, and yeah, figuring out what your stomach acid levels are can really make a difference as well.
I want to go back to protein levels because I interviewed Lily Nichols, who has written, I think, 2 or 3 books on pre-pregnancy, pregnancy, and postpartum. And she mentioned when I interviewed her that she read a recent study, I think it's the only study of its kind, where it was studying women postpartum and their protein intake. And the studies found that women recovering from postpartum need to eat more protein than a female athlete.
That makes so much sense to me.
Isn't that insane? And so I love that you said, like, I remember when I measured my protein and I was getting 35 to 40 grams a day. I know, it shocked me, right? And so, and here I preach protein all the time, right? But like when you actually start measuring it, just take out a piece of paper or put it on your phone and like, just look up everything. Like just spend 10 minutes throughout that day measuring your protein intake and then make a plan to just try, add a protein shake here, add a protein shake there, make dessert out of a protein shake. I just saw Just Ingredients did a chocolate mint ice cream shake, right? Where she did it with like milk and ice and her protein powder and a few chocolate chips. That's like 20 grams of protein there for dessert. So there are ways that it can be done. And like you said, making sure that you have optimal hydrochloric acid levels in your stomach is really going to make or break you. Because a lot of people say, well, I can't do that much protein because it doesn't sit well in my stomach. You don't digest protein well if it sits in your stomach and you feel like really heavy, not full, but heavy. It feels different. Like there's satiation and then there's, this feels heavy and now I feel sluggish and now I'm tired. That's your digestive juices not working for you. Another thing is if you are gassy a lot, right? Like, and it's stinky gas, because stinky gas is rotten protein in your gut. Think of like chicken meat that you leave in the trash outside and you open up that trash can 2 days later and it stinks so bad, right? That's the smell of decaying flesh. And that's happening in your gut when you don't digest it properly. Just think of that. So when you have stinky gas, you're not digesting your proteins. So those are two really signs to optimize your digestion.
Yeah.
Ashley, what's next?
Oh, I was just going to, before we move on, I wanted to add one thing to your note about that previous podcast you did. I totally agree with her. And I also, another pattern that I see a lot so commonly is low amino acids postpartum. And I talk a lot to women about how you're literally growing a child inside of your body. So you're pouring protein, amino acids into that process. And then you have the baby. I especially will have women that have had 3 or 4 children. They'll come in and they're like, I'm depressed. I have no energy. I can't get up in the morning. My hair's falling out. And we look at their hair analysis and their amino acids are just completely in the toilet. Super low. Like it's crazy. And when we see that, we know that no wonder your energy is low. No wonder everything has been so hard because you're not getting enough protein. You're not breaking it down enough, right? So sometimes it can be a factor of not eating enough. Sometimes it's just breaking it down. Sometimes it's both. But that's something that I see also very, very commonly in women when they're telling me they're exhausted, it's their amino acids. They don't have enough. You know, we call amino acids the building blocks of life, right? They're so critical to our day-to-day. We need them all the time. But especially, like you said, postpartum, especially during pregnancy, especially when we're trying to build muscle and all those times. So
next on your list, is one of my favorites, adrenals and coffee in the morning. Now, I am going to put an asterisk here. I have no judgment on anyone. Coffee to me is like dessert. Like, I love coffee so much. Coffee doesn't love me. So don't feel judged as we talk about coffee, but it is so bad for you. And tell people why.
Obviously, drinking copious amounts of coffee is where it becomes more problematic, but it's more bad for you, especially on an empty stomach. This is another pattern that I was telling Janique that I see so commonly is, like I was talking about with the low protein, a lot of women will tell me, I'm not really hungry in the morning, so I just drink a coffee. And then, you know, I'll have a small lunch and then a good dinner. Or sometimes even they'll tell me they don't really eat breakfast or lunch, and it's just mostly coffee throughout the morning. And I always say, oh, your poor adrenals, because when we don't give the body that energy, that protein especially, but amino acids, those foods that we're getting in the morning especially, if we don't offer that to the body before coffee, it's kind of like coffee's asking your body to go, 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 right? We know all the commercials, all that, right? Coffee is like this pick-me-up, right? But the problem is when the body is forced to do a pick-me-up, when it's forced to go, 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 and it doesn't have the fuel, that's when the adrenals kick in. That's when the cortisol is being pumped out. That's when our stress hormones are really getting going rampant. And it's when we really start to feel kind of awful. And so over time, one thing that almost every single time, if I'm asking women about their day-to-day, what they're eating and drinking, if they say something similar to that, we look at their hair analysis and their adrenals are like screaming, like, help me, help me. And so, yeah, that's what I emphasize is drinking a little bit of coffee. Like Janique said, some people can do it better than others. And so I'm not necessarily like, you should never, ever drink coffee. I mean, I do think that for a lot of people, it's problematic. But if you are a coffee drinker, if you feel like you rely on that, please, please eat protein first and get your meals in, you know, your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And even sometimes people say, like, I have coffee with breakfast. I'm like, okay, that's better than, you know, empty stomach. But if you can eat first before coffee, that's like way, way more ideal for the adrenals.
You know, another plug-in for protein is if you are a coffee drinker, they have those creamers with collagen peptides in. Throw a few scoops and get like 20 grams of collagen with your coffee and get a bigger bang for your buck right there. There's Vital Proteins. There's other companies that have creamers with collagen peptides in. Like, just do that.
And for all the soda drinkers and the perk energy drinkers, same thing would apply. Basically, if it's caffeine, same principles apply.
You just shouldn't drink soda, period. Like, that's where I draw the line. And I'm like, I'm not going to soften that statement. Like, you just shouldn't drink it. Do you know what's so funny is when I met Ryan, oh my God, he was a soda drinker. And I was just like, are you, like, in my mind, I'm like, I can't, like, I just can't. And I would like, he would buy these big sodas and like pour them down the drain. And it's funny because he would drink his soda and then need a nap in the afternoon. And then we spoke about it respectfully. And then one New Year's, he's like, okay, I'm not going to drink soda anymore. And guess what? He doesn't need naps. Like, he's got sustained energy. Like, yeah, there was that initial withdrawal, but like, he's not needing naps in the afternoon. He's got way more energy. And hopefully he's going to live a very long, happy, healthy life with me.
Yeah, that crash is real. That afternoon crash.
It really is. All right, Ashley, what is the next biggest thing that you see with people?
CO2 levels is a thing I see really commonly as well. So like low CO2. So again, this kind of all ties into adrenals again. Everything's kind of connected. But when we're stressed, when we're busy, when we're constantly on the go, we're not breathing optimally. We're not doing diaphragmatic breathing. This can also be related to B vitamins and some other deficiencies too. But it's something that I feel like all women could do a better job of just being mindful of is how they're breathing. And you've probably heard of, like, I can't remember if it's called like email breathing. I'm trying to remember what it is, but basically there's this thing that people do where like you like hold your breath while you're writing an email at work or something. And then you exhale it till you finish. Yeah. I've heard about people doing this. And I realized that I used to do that all the time at work. Cause you're just kind of in this stressed state. You're go, go, go. I got to get this done. And then you're like, oh yeah, I have to breathe. And it's like, oh, maybe we should be just breathing throughout. And so being mindful of breath is even just a good place to start. Is just, how are you breathing throughout the day? Are you paying attention to that? Are you breathing mostly from your lungs? Are you breathing more from your diaphragm? Are you trying to do slow breaths? Another thing, even thinking about like stomach acid, a lot of my clients will ask me, why do I have low stomach acid? There's a lot of reasons for that. But one reason I talk about a lot is, you know, adrenals and stress, right? When we're in fight or flight, we're not in rest and digest. In rest and digest, we're producing optimal stomach acid. We're we're smelling our food as we're cooking it, right? Like that's really the best way, is to be doing things slower. And I know in our modern world, that's like hilarious to talk about doing things slow, but the more you can slow down what you can, it can actually be really helpful in just doing less and doing less well. But really, Dr. Wright actually taught me this when we were talking about some adrenal thing at one point, because I definitely have had my share of adrenal issues. He was like, we really should all be doing deep breathing before we eat. And I was like, oh, no one does that. But he was talking about kind of engaging that, yeah, rest and digest. And as we sit down to a meal, if we can do even like 3 or 4 just really good diaphragmatic breaths and like help us ourselves feel calm and safe and ready to eat, that can really also help us more optimally digest our protein. I mean, so many of us are eating in the car and on the go and swallowing something over the sink before we run out the door. And that's how it goes sometimes. And I always tell clients, like, don't feel guilt or like you have to always have this perfect Zen life where you're making all your, like, that's not reality, but being aware of it can be really helpful actually.
In Gina's course, Conquering Cravings, because when people have cravings, she says you are in that fight or flight sympathetic dominant response. And so she says, stop, take 3 deep breaths, and you'll find that your craving, like the need for the food, will start to diminish more and more and more. And then you can ask yourselves, like, is this for comfort? Am I overstimulated? Am I stressed? Like, and so yes, like 3 deep breaths before any kind of craving or any meal or anything can really just be a game changer with your entire experience. And I want to talk a little bit about slowing down, because your stress response is really one of the primary causes for low hydrochloric acid and therefore bad digestion. In my digestion restoration course, it's a 5-part course, and class 1 is all about that mechanism, purely dedicated to that. Before we go into any of like the other sciences, you need to understand the science of your brain to your gut. Because if you don't understand that, then everything else you're learning right now is for nothing. Because you will try to band-aid bad, poor digestion with supplements and with digestive enzymes and with protocols, and you'll spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars trying to fix your digestion when all you need to do is change the mechanism that's causing it to be bad in the first place. And that is your brain-gut connection. So calming down your nervous system, like disengaging that hypervagus response, like utilizing other therapies to just really calm your brain down and help your body feel safe to get into that parasympathetic state. So I'm glad you brought that up, because it's huge.
Yes. And to your point, one thing that just came to mind as you were talking, that it's kind of just been a hack I figured out that I think would probably be relevant to a lot of people too. To that point of Gina's like, oh, want a tree, I just need to breathe. Another thing I find too is when I want sugar, and it's maybe like 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, sometimes I have to stop and ask myself, like, do I want sugar or do I want like some sort of like support for my adrenals, which a lot of times we go to carbs, right? But a lot of times I just drink more electrolytes and then I'm like, oh, I don't want anything. My body didn't want sugar. It didn't want a treat. It wanted some support. It wanted like that electrolyte balance, that supportive, you know, if you've had a really stressful day, that's often when I find myself going more for treats. And then I realize, oh, my body just probably needs more electrolytes to help with like the cortisol that happened today.
Well, and as we've just learned with like magnesium and calcium levels, like magnesium is one of those things too, that when you start supplementing properly with magnesium, which like shocker, no one does, like hardly anyone properly supplements magnesium. But when you do, chocolate cravings go away, sugar cravings go away. I know immediately when I start to get snacky, and I start opening cupboard doors for like chocolates or sugar or even candy, I'm like, oh shoot, it's been days since I've taken my magnesium. And then I just take my magnesium and it's like magic. It goes away. I have not had one person come back to me and be like, Janique, that didn't work. Like optimally supplementing with magnesium didn't work. And here's the thing. And here's why. Calcium, like most people are calcium dominant and insufficient with magnesium, and your calcium magnesium ratio is so important. Because calcium makes things go, right? It revs things up in the cell. It revs things up metabolically. It revs things up enzymatically. And magnesium slows things down. So in the cells, in the tissues, in the enzymes, in your brain, like everything kind of slows and relaxes when you have optimal magnesium. And so when you're in this hyperdrive, high calcium, high cortisol, like you're going to need to fuel that high stress with sugar. Right. And so when you can pump the brakes on everything, your body won't crave that anymore. It's so simple. You don't have to use willpower to overcome cravings. You can literally use biology to override another biological response in your body.
Yes, I should have had magnesium on my list, Shani, because that is something that I almost always see as well of a deficiency. Magnesium.
That's okay. I'm like the magnesium Nazi. I'm just like, everyone take magnesium, please. I probably mention it in every other podcast.
That's so funny. It's so true, though. So, so true.
Okay, what's next on your list?
Well, we kind of talked about some of these because they're also interconnected. I talked about my clients about this a lot where I feel like it's kind of everything is connected, right? It's all this puzzle we're putting together where we'll talk about one thing that's connected to the other thing, which is connected to the other thing. It really is. It is that way. So we kind of already talked about like the amino acids aspect of postpartum and all that. So yeah, just definitely another shout out to protein amino acids, especially for pregnancy postpartum. The next thing I see a lot is interferences. So a lot of tests don't look for this. You know, you're not going to get this in a blood test on most Western docs. Some people will even roll their eyes at this, but there is some truth to it. And I feel like I've seen it enough to know in myself, in my own life, and in my clients, there is something to it. So understanding like how your sensitivities are to some of these things, like Wi-Fi, EMF. So all the, I know everyone's wearing Bluetooth earphones these days, and we're all focused on all these things. And Alexas, and we're driving Teslas, and you know, we sleep with our phones next to us, and we're just kind of inundated and we don't realize it. I always tell clients, not in like a fearful way. We don't want to be scared of these things. I'm not here to fearmonger people and say, oh no, you're going to die of cancer because of the Wi-Fi. But understanding what we're dealing with, you know, we think we can't see radio waves, right? But radio waves are there. We also can't see Wi-Fi, but Wi-Fi is there. If we could all see Wi-Fi, we'd probably all be asking, how is this affecting my health? What do I need to do about this? Like, what is, everyone would be asking these questions, but we can't see it. So therefore we all kind of assume it's fine, which sometimes it is for some people. But a lot of times, actually, I find that those who have gut issues tend to be more susceptible to being sensitive to Wi-Fi, which kind of makes sense to me on lots of different levels. But it's something that it comes up really high for a lot of people. And they're like, whoa, I did not expect that. And I'll be like, yeah, I didn't expect that either, looking at your intake, because maybe I could see that maybe you have low thyroid, or maybe you have like the low stomach acid or the need for more protein. Maybe I can tell you need more magnesium, but maybe I wouldn't have guessed, oh, your cell phone's probably really bothering you. So we talk a lot about just like little things you can do. And I always send my clients lots of resources. I like to always encourage learning and reading and learning more about some of these topics, because we can't always talk for 3 hours in the consult, but being mindful of these things around us, finding out the specific things that we are sensitive to, doing a little digging, finding out, okay, what is that? For example, one of them is like 50 hertz mains that will come up. And I couldn't just sit here and rattle off all the sources of that for people. That's very like niche, right? But if you do a little searching, you can figure out what that might be in layman's terms in your home. And then I just invite people to look at their house and say, okay, do I have this thing that's just always plugged in that I never use that I could just unplug? At night, where's my phone? Can I plug it in far away from my bed? Can I put it on airplane mode? Actually, I'll tell people to like leave their Bluetooth off on their phone as kind of their dominant place for it. And then turn it on only when you use Bluetooth and flip it back off, because you don't need Bluetooth all the time. And that's just another thing we're getting exposed to. Yeah, Janika, I know you feel passionate about this too. So please feel free to weigh in. But
I do. It's interesting because Ryan Blazer with Test My Home, he's kind of like the EMF king. And I see him all over Instagram and all over the influencers like stories now and podcasts and whatnot. So I'm so proud of him. But I remember when he came and tested my house years ago, and he said, everyone's worried about these like 5G towers, but really your cell phone emits more than those 5G towers. And so you should be worried about what's in your pocket and not what's out there. He's like, yes, it's strong, but what's in your pocket's even stronger. So put it on airplane mode as much as possible. It doesn't need to be on when you're sleeping. You're not trading in the middle of the night, so switch it off. Don't plug it in next to your bed. Switch off your Wi-Fi at night. You don't need Wi-Fi at night unless you have like a security system, then that kind of sucks. But there's those things that we can just lessen the load, like charge your laptop before using it to, because if it's plugged in, it's emitting a huge amount of energy in front of you. So charge everything prior. Don't hold things while they're charging, because that's a huge energy source and like EMF cloud. I'm going to call it a cloud or fog around that device that is being plugged in. So like, I love that you mentioned that. And I don't know of any other tests that test for EMFs. Like, can you think of anything out there other than the hair analysis?
Actually, I think just bioresonance. I've seen some stuff on bioresonance, but that's it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's pretty unique. And I feel like it's something that one thing I always tell clients, if you're feeling overwhelmed about it and you don't feel like you have a lot of time or money to put into it, distance is your friend is what I always say. So try to just keep distance from, like Shani said, if something's plugged in, that's not the most ideal time to use it. It's going to be significantly higher in EMFs at that time. If you can have your phone away from your bed, right? If you're, a lot of women put their phones in their bras, and I'm always like, please don't do that. So having it in a purse instead of on in your butt pocket, right? Or in your bra is always better. Even if you have it around you, I actually saw there was a TED talk about this once where they said that the Apple like new manual thing for the iPhone says that it should never be within 1 inch of the body. And I was laughing. So I'm like, we all hold them all the time, right? But if it can just be next to you, not on your person, more than on you is the best.
You guys, I don't know if you can hear a screaming baby in the background. I'm literally trying to podcast and put my child to sleep at the same time. I don't know if I mentioned in the podcast, I think I mentioned to you, Ashley, I'm husbandless for this weekend. And so I have all the kids to myself. So I can't just like hand them off to Ryan while I'm podcasting. I'm solo right now.
You're doing awesome, Johnny.
Thanks. Okay. So what's next that you see a lot of?
Yeah. So this one's kind of random. And I don't know if many people have heard of this, but I learned over the years from different practitioners a little bit about Chinese medicine. It's something I've only dipped my toe into, but I love it. And I think there's a lot of truth there. And there's something called the Chinese medicine organ clock that I talk to my clients a lot about. And in Chinese medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, they believe that the organs kind of regenerate themselves at different times throughout the day. The most common thing I see is when my clients say, I wake up every night and I say, what time do you usually wake up? And a lot of times they'll say 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 1:30, 3, somewhere in there. So somewhere between that 1 and 3 a.m. time. And that is, according to Chinese medicine, when the liver is regenerating itself. And so a lot of times that's another sign for us that there's a liver burden there. There's some things going on. Typically, when I have clients that tell me that, we look deeper at their hair and nail system. We see there's maybe a heavy metal burden. There's parasites. There's various things going on there that might be a burden to the liver. And so that's something that is really interesting to see. Another one that I had recently that was just like such a cool experience is this client was telling me that she had just lost her grandmother, and she was really sad about it because she was really close to her grandmother, and it was a really special relationship, and the grandmother had passed just a couple weeks prior. And she told me, like, I haven't been able to sleep very well. And I said, well, when are you waking up? And she said, it's usually like 4 o'clock. I always wake up at 4 o'clock. And the next organ after liver is 3 to 5 a.m. and that's the lungs. And lungs are associated in traditional Chinese medicine with grief.
Grief.
And
yes.
When I told her that, she just like was so touched and so like, oh my gosh, that's what this is. And so I feel like just the more tools we can have to understand what's going on in our body is so nice. So that's one thing that I often share with clients is that organ clock to see like, okay, what do you have going on? Is it always at the same time of day? And then we look at that clock and we say, okay, maybe this is another hint or a clue to what's going on with you, you know? And if it's grief, that's okay. That's normal, right? It's not like, oh, stop grieving. It's more, what are ways that you can employ to help yourself deal with your grief so that you can, you know, move past having to be disrupted every night. But it takes time. And
I love that. I also know that waking up in the middle of the night is a parasitic infection. So if people wake up a lot in the night, that's parasites.
Yes. Also that.
They're overstimulating your nervous system. So
yes, yes.
Just want to throw that in there. Okay. So next is that you have on your list is mold. And I've done a podcast with Dr. Wright on mold. I've interviewed Mike, I can't remember his last name, but he has a mold remediation company, and he has the dog Chap, who is the mold dog sniffer. So
yes, I've heard about this guy.
So mold is like, mold's huge. It really is. Tell listeners more about what you see with mold in people.
So I won't dive too deep since it sounds like you've done some of those recently, but basically I dealt with mold illness as a part of my Lyme. The two go hand in hand a lot. It's kind of related to what they call biotoxins, essentially. And people who have Lyme and co-infections often have a higher amount of biotoxins in their body already, which is one of the reasons why the mycotoxins from the mold can make you more sick when you have Lyme. But there's lots of reasons why you could have higher biotoxins, not just Lyme disease. But mold, basically, it's one that's sneaky, right? Like, we don't always think about it or know about it. I was also taught in the past by a practitioner that Wi-Fi EMFs kind of stimulate mycotoxins to actually make them more problematic, which might be one of the reasons why we're seeing more people dealing with mold illness and struggling to be more sensitive to mold kind of in the last 20 years. So it's something that also will surprise people on their hair analysis when it comes up. They'll say, we live in a new house. I don't know what this is. And so sometimes we'll talk about past mold exposures because mold can live in the body for a long time. It doesn't have to just be that your house right now has it. I also have seen new homes with mold damage, which is terrible, but it does happen. So just because you live in a new home, you can't necessarily count it out. It's obviously less likely, but it still happens. One thing too, one of the doctors I worked with who helped me with my mold illness was teaching me about how mold can actually cause psychological issues for people like depression, schizophrenia, even sometimes.
100%.
Like crazy stuff. Most of the Western meds.
Personality change, like their personalities can change entirely. Like it's very scary. Keep going.
Yeah. So most Western docs don't look at mold much, or they maybe don't know that connection, and not their fault, but it's just something that's missed a lot. So I often tell clients, like, you might even be feeling depressed because of the mold. I know that sounds crazy, but it's possible that that's one of the main reasons. There's always, I would say with clients when they come in, there's rarely like one thing that's causing all of their issues, right? Like that rarely ever happens. But oftentimes there's things that are like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that this was a factor for me, that that's something we can look at. So yeah, a lot of times I'll have clients come in, mold's coming up for them. They had no idea. And so we kind of talk through how to test and how to look into that deeper. And then once we know they're not living in the mold anymore, that's kind of when we can get going on helping the body detox.
One thing I want to add to that too is I've seen people with mold before COVID and people with mold after COVID. And I think the reason why we're getting this explosion in mold awareness is because mold is affecting more people. Because when we all got COVID, some people got long hauler syndrome and some people didn't. But what COVID actually does to the immune system is it breaks down its defenses, right? So let's say the common flu comes around. Before COVID, you could get over it in like a few days and be fine. Post-COVID, you're sicker longer. You maybe have a cough for months at a time. You cycle sickness. So maybe you get sick again 2 weeks later with the same virus or another virus. And so everything is just weakened and broken down more. And for some people, it like their immune defenses completely got stripped away. And so your body was handling mold. It was handling viruses. It was handling co-infections. And now it's not anymore. And so I think a lot of people have become extremely sensitive to mold because of COVID stripping their defense systems. It's no longer just people who have that genetic mutation, or there's a gene that makes people not assimilate or detox mycotoxins as readily as other people. And that's 25% of the population. But post-COVID, I would say that's closer to 50 now, not because of that gene, but because of like, we all actually have long hauler in some way, shape or form. You may not have it symptomatic as like the neurological stuff and the emotional stuff, but it like everyone is, I don't want to use the word defective, but everyone has been affected. Everyone has been affected by long COVID through a weakened immune system, through not bouncing back like the way that they used to. And then with mold, just being extra sensitive to mold. So I'm glad you brought that one up because, again, like we all have to be way more aware of our immune systems now. Before, they just used to work and they worked like clockwork. And now it's like, wait a second, that's different. That's interesting. I mean, how many moms, I cannot tell you how many moms were like, yep, my kids were sick 2 weeks ago and they're sick again. And like all winter long, like their children just cycled illnesses. And it went from one child to the next, and then they all started over again. And it went from one child to the next, and everyone just started over again every few weeks or so. And it's exhausting. And it's because everyone's immune systems are just a little more beaten up, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, I think it's that, also like that bucket analogy, right? We get the COVID kind of, I think, overflowed lots of people's buckets that were sort of okay, but not anymore. And then Dr. Wright even said recently, which I thought was made so much sense too, to what we're seeing, is COVID kind of brought things back out that were previously a problem for people that maybe they had gotten better with or whatever. They kind of like brought them back out. And so it's just, it's mean. COVID is really mean to all
of us. It's so mean. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, I healed my Lyme and post-COVID, now it's back. Or I overcame my Epstein-Barr and now it's back. Like, it's just, it is really mean. Mitochondria damage. I love this topic. I love mitochondria so much.
It's kind of flows right into what we were just talking about, because mold can even affect that. But COVID, we're seeing lots of mitochondria damage with post-COVID, which if you think about, I always talk about mitochondria. I mean, we always talk about the battery pack of the cell. It does a lot more than that, but it is kind of where we get a lot of our cellular energy. And if you think, I always tell my clients, if you think of, if all of your cells are struggling, like your whole body's struggling essentially, right? Which is why, like, we know at Provo Health, we talk a lot about that order of healing. Johnny, I don't know if you talked about that in a little while, but the mitochondria is the second one on that list for a reason, because it's so foundational. And if the mitochondria is not working well, then the whole body is going to be struggling essentially. So it's something that we really want to address early on. And that often shows up on the hair analysis as well. And a lot of times when it comes up, I'll ask clients, did you have COVID? Did you have it recently? Was it a bad type? You know, did you have it really bad when you had it? And a lot of times that can be another reason for chronic fatigue. You know, there's so many, like low iron, low thyroid. There's a lot of reasons why adrenals, right? Why we're having low energy. But sometimes we don't think about mitochondria being affected as one of those reasons. So that's something that I see a lot as well.
Well, artificial lighting as well as EMFs damage mitochondrial function as well. And so like people are like, what supplements should I take? And I'm like, well, let's not even talk supplements. Just go outside and look at natural sunlight. Like at nighttime, switch off all your lights and just have low flicker rate, like red lights in your house. The natural lighting and circadian of nature is not something we plug into anymore. And the mitochondria, I like to describe them like little, like sensitive fairies. Like they love, they're so sensitive and they're so airy fairy that when they're not in their natural habitat, they wilt. And so we have to like go back out in nature, like watch the sunrise, watch the sunset, like go outside, go ground, like take your shoes off and stand like in the soil, right? Like simple things like that recharge your mitochondria. Think of how artificial our lives are, right? It could be months before we actually step on grass, right? Because we're going from our house to our car, to a building, back to the car, back to the house, not stepping on grass or soil once, not like being in nature once. These things are really detrimental to mitochondrial function. And so, yes, going back to nature and natural roots can be really important. All right, next.
So the next thing I see a lot too is chiropractic, actually. I feel like this is something, so as a part of my story, I didn't know until my early 30s that I had what's called functional scoliosis. So it's not the scoliosis you think of when you see on a movie where it's like really, really obvious and severe and people walk weird. And like, it's not that type, but it is a pretty still significant issue. So I always talk to clients about how, if you think about like the structure function aspect, right, of our bodies. So if the structure of our body or our spine is really, really off in some way, that's going to significantly impede the flow of fluid throughout the body. One thing that I had would never have put together, but my chiropractor who helped me through this, I actually had an 18 degree curve that was then corrected to a one. And now it's like a zero or a one, which is what a healthy quote unquote person should have. I gained a half inch in height, which if you guys know me in real life, I'm not a tall person. So it wasn't a lot of help, but it was really cool to see that once I straightened out, I actually gained some height. And then I was dealing with genetic varicose veins. So I didn't have varicose veins in the way you think of like your grandma's, where my legs looked all awful. And like, it wasn't like to that extent yet, because I was young still, but I was still feeling like I was, oh, like, oh no, I'm going to get varicose veins like my mother and like my grandmother had. And he told me that, you know, if we can optimize the spine and get you in alignment to how you should be, that can really make a difference for varicose veins. And so I was like, wow, no one ever talks about that with varicose veins. People talk about vascular structure and making sure that your veins have the nutrients they need, which is obviously very important as well. But if you think about it, they're going to have more pressure or they're going to have incorrect flow happening when the spine is off. And so that's something that I often will ask lots of specific questions to my clients about when they talk about chronic back pain or headaches, and ask them like, where does your head hurt? How often is it hurting? You know, have you ever been evaluated by a good chiropractor? Shout out to Dr. Eric McIntyre in Draper. He's the one who helped me a ton to really fix my spine. And I send a lot of clients to him because we don't often realize that that's a big factor. Also, those with MTHFR gene mutations, Janique taught me that, often can be actually more susceptible to scoliosis. So that's something too, if they already come in knowing that they have MTHFR mutations, I will ask them more questions possibly about their spine as well. One thing also my chiropractor taught me in this realm is, which I think is so beautiful, he said he feels like when we are aligned, when our spines are aligned, we're more in tune with our like our life purpose and to our infinite like being. And I found that to be so beautiful because he said he'd have clients come back and say, "Doc, you didn't tell me I was going to become more spiritual."
Oh, wow.
I know. I even notice in myself, if I'm really off and I can tell, oh, I need to get adjusted, I'm super off, I will feel more grumpy. I'll feel like I can't see far ahead very well. I'll feel discouraged. I'll feel like just more down. And I think my natural state is more of an optimist. And so I'm like, oh, I'm off. This isn't me. And I go and get adjusted. And it's like, I'm back. I feel like myself again. And so that's something a lot of moms will come to me and they're worried about their teenagers that are like super depressed and super struggling. And again, with depression, there's a million reasons why a child can be depressed. But I love to kind of look at this as something, did we look into this? Have we looked at the spine? Has that been evaluated? Because it's such a big part of the body that I think even in functional medicine, it's missed a lot where we don't think about having that be evaluated. But I always ask clients if they've seen a good chiropractor, because I don't think they're all created equal. So there's some resources I can share with Shani to add to the show notes here. But there's a resource you can do to kind of do a national search if you don't live local. I, of course, love to send my clients to Dr. McIntyre Draper if you're close to, with driving range to him. But sometimes if you're out of state, we can give you a directory for that.
One thing you mentioned, kids and depression or, you know, mental stuff. I kind of want to go back to mold. I know we've passed the mold section, but like it just sparked some thoughts that I wanted to share with people. If you think of young children exposed to a moldy house or a moldy environment from young, and they don't have the language to tell you what's happening in their body because they actually don't know what feels good and what feels off, that can look like anxiety, that can look like depression, that can look like any kind of emotional turbulence in their life, which could mimic hormonal dysfunction or bipolar or even like asthma, for instance, allergies, that could all be mold exposure. And so I think that's why it's so important to do the hair analysis on kids as well, to just kind of rule those things out. And also recognize that like doing the hair analysis frequently, like once every 3 to 6 months, to see patterns in the body, so that you can see what the body generally struggles with, can be really important. Because is it nutritional? Is it environmental? If mold keeps popping up every now and then, it could be a mold issue, right? And so then we label children as they're just moody or they're depressed, right? I think the most heartbreaking stories I've heard is when mothers come to me and they say, my child says that she doesn't feel right in her body. And I'm like, ooh, there's something there, right? She's like, I don't know what happy feels like anymore. That's brain inflammation. And that's probably mold or parasites. I actually had a case, and I want to share this because, again, because it's just so important. I had a friend who brought her daughter in for a hair analysis, and she said, could you just quickly look at it? She keeps saying that there's this creepy feeling inside of her, and she doesn't, and it scares her, and she doesn't know like what it is. And her daughter's 12. Right. And so she's like, I just have this creepy feeling. And then her mom mentioned that she had like a meltdown one night. And I was looking at her hair analysis and I said, did that meltdown happen to be on? And I mentioned a specific date. I pulled out my phone and I looked at the lunar cycle and I looked at the last full moon. And I was like, was it on this date? She looks back. She's like, we were camping. Yeah, it was that date. And I'm like, your daughter has parasites. And I was like, because like parasites are more active around the full moon. And so track her emotional cycles. They probably get worse around full moons. And ever since she did a parasite cleanse, like that creepy feeling and the anxiety has gone away. And so, but again, like those kinds of symptoms, look for infections, look for mycotoxins and mold. Our natural alignment is to feel inspired, is to feel good, is to feel spiritual, right? Like that's what we are naturally inclined to do. But when you infect the body with inflammatory things like foods, molds, sodas, sugars, parasites, co-infections, like that's going to pull us out of our natural alignment. So I think that's really cool that the chiropractor said like, oh, you didn't tell me I'd feel more spiritual. When you do a parasite cleanse, it could be a very spiritual experience because you're like, oh, I feel clear. I just feel me now. And me feels amazing. Right? Like how many people can actually say, man, it feels good to be in this body again, right? Or it feels good to be in this body. So many times, like people are just bogged down by infections and other things, and it just doesn't feel good to be in the body. And that's not our natural state. I truly believe that we were here to experience a joyful, inspired life, and illness gets in the way. And so that's why I'm so passionate about people being self-healers, because I want them to experience their highest and best self. sometimes we need to figure out what's in the way so that we can get to the other side to experience our highest and best self. So Ashley, is there anything else on your list that you want to share with people?
I think I'll just, I know we're getting close probably on time. I think I'll just end on, Jeanique says this all the time. There's a lots of doctors and different health people that I've heard say this, but the whole, if you're not testing, you're guessing thing. I see a lot of clients to come to me with, I'll ask for their supplement list and they're taking, you know, 20 or more sometimes supplements. And I'm like, oh, wow. So, and I usually ask like, what are you taking this for? And sometimes there's legitimate reasons for most of them. And sometimes they're like, well, I watched this podcast and I heard about this one and I started taking this one and I, you know, and there is just this theme we have where everyone's excited about functional medicine and, you know, learning more about how to be, like Jeanique said, self-healers. I want to always encourage that in people. But if we are just kind of listening to something or hearing something or looking at a post and ordering something and buying that, and believe me, I was in that place before I knew better, I think we end up probably getting maybe even more of what we don't need. We often, a lot of times I'll see clients like, they're taking a multi and they're taking a B12 and then they're taking a B complex. And I'm like, whoa, you might be really getting too many Bs. Or there's a lot of overlap that we might not realize that we might be getting. So just kind of emphasizing that doing some sort of, whether it's the hair analysis, we're going to be starting doing a new mineral and heavy metal scan called the Oligo scan at Provo Health 2. Doing some sort of testing, seeing where you are, what is actually deficient for you? Because maybe you might think like, oh, I probably have this issue because I feel this symptom. But remembering, like we talked about today and like Jeanique's talked about many times, a lot of times one symptom, there can be seven causes for that potentially, right? So it might be a B12 deficiency, but it might not be. And so maybe looking into why are you taking those? And so I love helping clients kind of minimize what they're already taking and also seeing what they are deficient in and kind of trying to simplify. Obviously, my goal with clients is always to get to a point where you're not being in this obsessive routine with your supplements where you're every day I take three of this and two of this and two of it. Like, I don't want clients to do that long term. That's not a solution to me. That's like a band-aid. It's better than a medication, right? But it gets really expensive to be taking so many supplements for so long. So our goal is always to kind of, what are some of the key issues, right? Like Jeanique mentioned, parasites or mold, or what is going on at more of like, I don't want to use the word root cause because I feel like it's overused in so many ways, but what are some of the major issues going on at play? Can we address those and get you stronger so that you're not relying on supplements all the time to where you're maybe taking them more intuitively, where you're saying, you know what, I had a really stressful day, or I'm going to have a really stressful day today, I think, because there's so many things I have to deal with. I'm going to take a little bit of adrenal support, right? But maybe you're not saying every single day I have to take my adrenal support. Unless you're in one of those crazy phases of life, sometimes that's needed. But yeah, just kind of more of that, getting to the intuitive place and making sure that we're testing to see what we really need.
You know, what's interesting when people come with supplements where it like maybe they're taking so many Bs, like what we can actually tell is like, are you even absorbing those Bs? And this is interesting because you could see like influencers say, oh, low B vitamins means these symptoms. And you can say, I have those symptoms. And then you start taking Bs and then you take more Bs and more Bs. And you're like, well, I still have those symptoms. And then we can actually see, okay, in your blood work, yes, you are swimming in B vitamins, but in your minerals, you're actually not absorbing them. Why are they not being driven into your cells? Why is your body not utilizing this? And so that's why we do love that saying, don't guess test. Like, let's look at this big picture. Let's take a big picture of everything using the hair analysis and see what your body's prioritizing, and then get really, really specific with either the oligo scan or with like blood work to see what's happening on a cellular and tissue level, right? Like, what is blocking the functionality of your cells? What's blocking the functionality of your tissues? And once we can get to the cause of that, then you don't need to take 3B vitamins to absorb them. Maybe it's just a homeopathic that drives it into the cells, right? Or something as simple as that, right? And so like, let's help you figure that out, right? Because there are ways to figure it out. There are ways to test. There, like, don't guess anymore. Don't take hundreds of supplements. Like, no one has time or money for that. Like, healing can be simple and it can be easy and it can be in flow and it can be one of the best journeys you ever go on, right? But if it's feeling overwhelming and it's feeling daunting, like, ask for help. Whether it's you're talking with Ashley or you're talking with Dr. Wright or you're working with your functional medical doctor, like, make sure that you are receiving the help and the answers to help you simplify and streamline your healing so that it makes sense and it feels right for you. And so I think that's all that I want to say about that. Ashley, do you have any last words of advice for listeners that are maybe struggling in their health journeys and they feel stuck?
Yeah, the last two things I think just came to mind. One is have a team. I always tell my clients, I don't expect to be, you know, your one and only practitioner you're working with. I don't mean to go out and get 27 opinions, but I mean, you might need a chiropractor, right? You might need a pelvic floor therapist. You might want a therapist or a acupuncturist or, right? Like some different, adding in different modalities can be really powerful. And so figuring out how can you put together a team? And I love helping people figure out maybe some of those supportive modalities that could also help. But I don't ever expect myself to be like your one source of truth. I think that's like terrible, right? People should always go by their intuition, right? And build up a team of people that can help them. And like Shonique said, that could look like multiple people at Provo Health or also different other specialists or different things like that. Like none of us know everything, right? And all of us know things the other people don't know. And so getting multiple opinions. And then when I was going through my health journey, what I would often do is I would hear someone or I would listen to something. And then I would kind of check in with myself and be like, does that feel true to me? Does that feel right to me? Or I tell clients all the time, if I tell you like this supplement really, I think would be a great one for you based on this, and that doesn't feel right to you, don't take it. Like, I don't know your body better than you. You know what I mean? And I'm not here to tell you like that my knowledge eclipses yours. It's just, I'm going to give advice and then I want you to what feels right to you. So finding a team of people that can be helping you figure out what's going on is really helpful. And I refer to a lot of practitioners too. Were you going to say something, John?
I was going to ask you, do you remember like during consults when, because just to what you were saying there, like we don't have all the answers, you know better than we do. Like, but asking your own body, do you remember during consults where I would have people be like, I don't know, close your eyes, take a deep breath.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Like, let's drop into your body. Okay. How does your body feel about that? How does your body feel about that protocol? How does your body feel about that supplement? Do you remember when I used to do that all the time?
Yes. And thanks for bringing that up, because that's something that like we do kind of going back to the adrenal conversation we had. I think so many of us live in our heads all day because a lot of our modern world requires that. But yes, getting back, dropping into your body, it sounds like a weird phrase, maybe for those who haven't really ever heard of that idea, but it's more about, yeah, we know what your brain's thinking, right? But what is your heart saying, right? And if you can do some deep breathing and kind of get some of that energy down from your brain into your body, you can really kind of figure out what is feeling right to you. And I think just the last, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say like, and not even just your heart, but your body, like your body, like how many people like would do that exercise with us and get a very clear answer, right? Like people like listening right now might think, oh, that's so weird and hokey pokey. It's like, no, it actually works. Like when you take a breath and you drop into your body, and I'd kind of guide them through that. It would take about 3 to 5 minutes to get them to drop into their body. And then they would get clear answers. And then I'm like, there you go. There's your answer. You didn't need me. You didn't need an Ashley or a Dr. Wright or whoever. Like your body can really guide you on like what feels good for it.
That's something I love to encourage in clients. A lot of times they'll come in and they'll say, you know, I think this is what is going on, whatever that, you know, fill in the blank is, parasite, whatever. And then we look at their report and I'll say, yeah, you were right. Listen to your intuition. Keep listening to yourself. I think so much for me that was hard about the Western model of medicine, it felt so like, you're wrong. Your thoughts are wrong. Trust me. I know the most. I'm the doctor. And not to say that all doctors are that way, but I dealt with a lot of that in my journey. And I love the more holistic, functional naturopath. Dr. Wright is very much like this, where they, you know, encourage you to become your body's, I guess, best resource, where you can trust your intuition. You know, that's something I think just the last thing I would say is there's always, always, always hope. It's like something that I wish I could wear a shirt every day that said that on it. I think going through my very, very long health journey was very hard at times, and it can be so, so difficult. And I just want to tell everyone listening, if you're feeling like that, where you're just like struggling and feeling like you don't want to try one more thing, I've been there. I understand you. And I would love to help you, or any of our other coaches at Provo Health are also awesome. Dr. Wright is awesome. Like, please don't give up. That's just my message, is don't like let yourself like succumb to like giving up, is to just keep trying, keep learning, keep growing. And there's going to be hope out there. There's something that can help you. You may just not have been able to find it yet.
Exactly. Ashley, that was perfect. Thank you. You guys reach out to us, reach out to Provo Health or whoever it is that you're working with. Make sure that you have a really solid team around you and keep looking for answers. Keep finding what is happening in your body, because there are answers. Like the body is meant to be in alignment. It's not meant to be sick. And it got sick. Something caused it to be sick. So find out what that cause was and then fix it and then heal it. It can be done. Healing happens. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. And we will catch you next week. Thank you for listening to the Gutsy Health Podcast. We hope you enjoyed and learned a lot from this episode. For more updates, follow us on Instagram @GutsyHealthPodcast.